218 West Burkett.
Looking for physical therapy options before your surgery or for your post-op? Did you know you don't have to go to Sheridan for physical therapy? Nope. Avoid that painful journey and stay in Dayton, where we have three physical therapists. Oh, and Active Balance Physical Therapy is a top referral from doctors, so you don't just save time. You get top-tier physical therapy. Not having surgery? Come in and let's build a prevention plan. ActiveBalancePT.com. Stop by the website and then come see us in Dayton.
This holiday season, let's celebrate with responsibility. Enjoy a beer, but remember, know your limits and never drink and drive. Plan ahead, use a designated driver, or call a ride. Wyoming's beer distributors are proud to be more than just business owners. They're neighbors, supporters of local events, and partners who give back to our communities all year long. Together, we can keep our holidays safe and full of cheer. This message is sponsored by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, the Wyoming Beer Distributors Association, and this station.
SheridanMedia.com's Christmas Online Marketplace is open for business. Shop from wherever you are with over 40 Sheridan area businesses. Give people something they want, like gift certificates to Expressions Art Gallery, Wild Waffle Company, Tales of the City, Rose Petal Beauty, and Black Diamond Detailing. Bid now. You have until Monday, and we're going to close the marketplace at noon Monday so you can come pick up your gifts. Check it out, SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, December 16th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Executive Director Yvonne Swanson and Volunteer Coordinator Brittany Hamilton. Good morning, ladies. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It's always great having you guys in here. How are things down at the center, Yvonne?
You know, things are pretty good. Busy as always. We did see a few less people in November than we did in October, but we've been busy. The ladies have been doing a lot of things as far as like presentations and trainings. Mm. And then, of course, our normal work in crisis. So yeah. Our 24-hour crisis line is busy, unfortunately. And, our day-to-day walk-ins are still happening. So still busy. And things that we do look forward to is the holiday season.
Yeah.
Because we do find some joy around that. Holy Name Catholic Church helped provide some of our victims and the families with Christmas. So we do enjoy that time of year, too.
Yeah.
But it is. It's always busy.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, even though our numbers might go down, victimization, domestic violence still continues.
Yeah.
Yep.
Families try to hold it together a little bit more. So people are always like, aren't you really busy? And, you know, we are busy to the extent of when things happen, law enforcement will be involved.
Yeah.
Because they will be bad. We don't see as many walk-ins and telephone calls as we typically do the rest of the year. But we are still busy, and domestic violence happens all the time. There's no certain time of the year, certain time of the day that it happens. So, yep, always busy.
And in the situations where the numbers do ebb and, you know, flow, you still got trainings to get done. I mean,
right.
Okay, now we can get down to the other things, the bureaucracy and the office stuff. Let's get caught up on paperwork. Let's try to get ahead while we have the time. So I could only imagine there is no such thing as a slow period at the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource
Center. You said, there's always something to do. Like, you know, if trainings and getting ready for presentations, Rhonda's getting ready to go up and do the health class. At the end of the semesters, we provide information and prevention training and stuff like that in the schools. And they do their, I think it's going to be in January, right? The high school health class comes and does field trip.
Field trip, yeah.
Thing, and they see a few different organizations in the community and just see where the helping agencies are, and we're part of that circle.
Really? That's fantastic. Yeah, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
What
the health class.
Great program. Mm-hmm. Like, just go around, kind of look at 501c3s, individuals.
And they're helping agencies, so I think that they see reproductive health care, advocacy and resource center, is it Legacy Pregnancy?
ABC Legacy Pregnancy Center.
Just different agencies, just so they're aware that they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a freshman in high school, maybe even in junior high age, if it's not them, it's a friend that might be going through something.
Yep.
Things happen. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think that they're happening in our community, but they are.
Yeah.
And so our educators are amazing at just, you might not need this now, but let us show you the resources in the community.
Yep. It's
all about
here
planting seeds. Just planting those little seeds so that way they know.
Little closer to the mic for me. Sorry. Thank you.
Yep. Planting those seeds so that way they know, you know, where they can go for help.
And, you know, God forbid that they do need to kind of call on them. But knowing that they're there might even help somebody else. Hey, you know what? I went on this field trip and I learned this, that, or the other. And they may be able to help somebody else. Now, for listeners who may not be familiar, Yvonne, what is the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center? And what role do you girls play? And I shouldn't say that because there are men who help you out as well. Do you play in our community?
Right. So we are a local nonprofit. Most of our funding comes from state and federal funding. But we also depend on the community as far as private donations and grants and foundations and things like that to keep us running. We also get funding through the county and the state GPET money, the 1 cent sales tax money. So we're always very proud to be able to continue our work with all of that help. We are a free agency for people who have experienced trauma or victimization. So primarily, when I say primarily, I would say over half of the people that we see are domestic violence victims. And then we assist all violent crime victims. So domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, home invasion, burglary, homicide survivors.
The list goes on.
DUI accidents. If you were ran into by a DUI driver or if you were a passenger in that vehicle, we can assist with you. We are one of four agencies in the state that provide crisis intervention, emergency shelter, and ongoing criminal justice advocacy.
And that's something I want to touch on, something that Rhonda and I were talking about. When you say ongoing,
mm-hmm.
you are there from beginning to end. You will be by my side.
Right.
Yes.
We are trained, all the advocates and our crisis line volunteers are trained to walk alongside a victim through the trauma that they're experiencing and to help them through the whole process.
And just so folks know, you're not lawyers. That's not your role.
No, nor do we want to be.
Right.
No.
Right.
I think which gives us a different freedom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. It opens up a lot of avenues for you.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if you had any kind of a lawyer in the room, it's going to shut it down.
Right.
And that's nothing against lawyers. They understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're there for me.
Right.
To support me, to point me in the right direction, to say, hey, you know what? Maybe not legal advice in any way, but I'm going to give you advice on how this system works.
Right.
And I'll
exactly.
be beside you as we go approach this person, talk to the judge or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And we explain, we are like the number one person agency to explain your rights as a victim, your right to information, your right to file protection orders, to be part of the criminal justice process, the right to voice your opinion on what a sentencing should look like or what that offender might mm-hmm. be sentenced to. So we are that agency that will help you talk to law enforcement. We can sit during an interview with law enforcement. We can sit with you during a sexual assault exam or a domestic violence exam up at the ER. We can sit with you while you communicate with the county attorney's office, while you file a protection order, while you have a hearing for the protection order. We will give you true and accurate information of all the criminal justice hearings, hopefully before it hits the news and the media,
mm-hmm.
Just so you have true, accurate information, because some things can be misunderstood.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're there to help you with what you choose to do.
Yeah, and it's not forced.
Mm-mm,
if
no.
you're like, you know, I'd rather do this alone. Okay, hey, yep. I'll sit outside. You let me know when you need me.
Well, even if law enforcement is not involved, if you come into our agency and you're like, you know, my friend told me to come here. I don't know why I'm here. It's not like he hits me. And we're like, well, something concerned your friend. So why don't mm-hmm. we talk about why your friend thinks you should be here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where information and teaching them, like, this is what domestic violence looks like. Our term for domestic violence is an umbrella term for is something happening to you that makes you fear something? Does somebody talk to you in a way that you are scared to do something or else?
Yeah.
Something bad will happen. Those are things that we talk about. It's not he just hits me or he throws things or breaks things. And let me say my disclaimer. I use he and she just because it's usually easier in a conversation. Like you said, we assist all violent crime victims. So whether they're male or female, we do help them. But I do use he and she. Yeah. Usually she's the victim. Usually he's the offender. Not meaning that that is the case in every situation.
I was in, and I'll share this with people. I was in a relationship that I ended after this, but she hit me.
Right.
And I was like, okay, this is done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can happen to anyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To anyone.
Yeah.
Now, I put an end to mine. Some people don't have, I guess you could say, don't feel that they have that option.
Right, right.
And so that's where they come to you and they're like, what do I do from here?
And I think that's one of the hardest things to explain to people is you hear a situation, you're like, oh, I would have left before that. Oh, he hit me one time, I would be out of there. She has choices. She can choose to leave. She can choose to change her life. Not always, because by the time it gets that violent, she doesn't feel like she has choices.
Power's been taken.
He has already destroyed every avenue that she felt she had. He's already been isolating her from family, friends, financial situations. She's already crazy to everybody else. Mm-hmm. She has no place to go. No. All of her ties in the community have been cut.
If there's children involved, that's a whole other factor. And that also can be used against either party, which makes it really complicated.
Oh, yeah. I hate that's one thing. That always angered me so much is when parents use children as weapons in whatever way. And it just breaks my heart when I see that situation pop up.
So what our advocates are trained to do is look at those situations, hear the story, hear what's happening in their home and in the relationship, and kind of deconstruct it. Like, what is your biggest fear right now? What is your biggest stress right now? How can we handle these things one thing at a time? Mm-hmm. Because it is huge. The answer might not be a protection order because he doesn't care if law enforcement gets involved or not. He doesn't care if he's arrested. He's already said he's going to shoot the police if they show up.
Yeah.
So that's a fear, right? Yeah. You're not going to call the police if you think that you calling the police is going to get somebody else killed.
Yeah.
You're not going to call family and friends if he's already said, if you do that, I'm going to kill your pet. If you do that, I'm going to destroy your children's dreams, like their Christmas will be ruined if you do this. Mm-hmm. They already have so many fears.
And it's so much control.
It's all control.
And it's all about the control.
Right.
Silencing the victim in any way that they possibly can. And a lot of people, as you said, I've heard it over the years myself, why don't they just leave?
Right.
Why don't they just walk out the door? Mm-hmm. Well, because that's, to them, that's no longer an option.
Yep.
That's not something that can happen.
That is more dangerous.
There you go.
It is more dangerous to leave than to just stay there and take it.
I would rather take the self-punishment than put anyone else in danger. Yep. Which breaks my heart even more to think that, these mothers and in some cases even fathers are like, I'm just going to tough this out because it's better for my kids.
For the kids? There's so many outside things that are creating that viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You got married. You need to stay in your marriage. You made your bed, lie in it. You made these choices. You're stuck with it. So many things are keeping people in bad relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah. There's no such black and white. Yeah. There's so much gray.
Yeah.
And it's really tough to really look at another relationship from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have no idea what's really happening.
You have no idea. Closed doors or, hey, boy, they're smiling all the time. Well, that's because...
Oh, that's their fake face.
That's the fake face. That's the mask, right? And so you never know. And I know this saying goes around a lot, but I don't think people sit with it. You never know someone else's battles.
Mm-mm. Right.
You never know someone. And everyone. Every single human being on this planet is fighting something, somehow. No life is perfect.
That's so
That's just
true.
The way it is.
Yep.
You know, even when you hear about these rich people with all these things and all these locations, and then you find out, gosh, I hate it all. I hate
all that
stuff.
Well, they're not happy.
Stuff,
yeah.
You know?
They're not happy either. I mean, you can have all the money in the world, but do you have a true friend?
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's so hard.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. All right. I'm getting a signal. I got to take a quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Building a strong financial future starts with knowing the basics.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy to life.
We offer free resources tailored to your group, interactive bank tours, hands-on materials, and real conversations with our banking professionals.
It's a smart, practical way to prepare the next generation.
Learn more or request a speaker at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Christmas is almost here, which means it's time for Moss Holder's annual snowflake sale. This year, you could be the lucky customer that receives half off your entire purchase. The sale is easy. Simply select all the regularly priced items you'd like to buy, then randomly select a percentage off. Every purchase will save at least 10%. Many customers will save 15, 20, or 30% off their entire purchase. Just like every year, one lucky customer will draw the largest discount, getting 50% off everything they buy. This year, it just might be you. Moss Holder's annual snowflake sale ends December 23rd. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
Looking for more space this holiday season? Synergy Shopominiums is your solution. Customizable warehouses just minutes from downtown Sheridan. Whether you need secure storage, a home for your small business, room for your hobbies, or a spot for your recreational vehicles, we've got you covered. Celebrate the season with extra space and peace of mind. For more information or a walkthrough call, Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates.
Ho, ho, ho! This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of the Ligursky Sausage Lunch.
Hi, AJ Evans here, inviting you to join us for the best New Year's Eve party in town, a red carpet Hollywood gala benefit for the Dog and Cat Shelter. The event will be hosted at the Quintana Ballroom from 7 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Buy tickets at the Wyo Theater or call 752-7704. 100% of sale proceeds will go to the shelter. Don't miss out since we have limited capacity. For more details, check us out on Facebook, NYEGALA.
There's incredible deals on Sheridan Media's Christmas Online Marketplace with 50 Sheridan area businesses and most bids starting at 50% of retail value. Gift certificates like The Story Store, Hidden Bridge Golf Course, Sheridan Seed, Miracle Housekeeping, and even a brand new motorcycle from Hando's. Bid now until Monday. We're closing the marketplace down noon Monday. Check it out. SheridanMedia.com. You won't want to miss it.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Executive Director, Yvonne Swanson, and Volunteer Coordinator, Brittany Hamilton. Now, historically, we talked about how the season may affect the demand for the services of the center. We touched on it a little bit, Yvonne, but one thing that I did want to talk about during this visit, why can the holidays be particularly challenging for individuals already experiencing crisis or trauma?
Well, Brittany can correct me if I'm wrong, but so, like I said earlier, so many times the families, the people being abused want to keep the family together. If they don't have a place to go, if they break up the family, what does Christmas look like for the kids? What does Christmas look like for the family? So during these times, we see victims putting up with more than they normally would.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to ruin the holidays for their family. And there's so many things, like the kids are out of school for 2 weeks. Like,
right.
So many things are happening right now. So usually, as far as, like I said, walk-ins and telephone calls from people who are just seeking resources and information and planning their way out of a relationship are really low because of all of the activities. What we will see are some pretty violent situations where law enforcement is involved.
Because they don't make a move until something really comes to a head.
Right,
right.
We're going to put it off. We're going to put it off. Grandma's coming into town this weekend. Yep. We're going to put it off.
Yes.
Well,
they got to continue with the facade.
Yep. And then something happens, and it's usually kind of dramatic to the point where we've got to call the SPD.
Right.
Or the SPD just
or somebody calls on, you know, for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is involved. Something else happened. It's really bad. It was really violent. Super scary. We can't deny it anymore. Yeah. Somebody else had to be involved.
So when we talk about the crisis line, Brittany, just refresh everybody what this crisis line is, and its absolute value to the community.
Yes. Yeah, so our 24-hour crisis line is so detrimental to the community. Like, it's so beneficial because with that, it allows victims to have access to help, and it doesn't have to be law enforcement. I think that's some of the biggest things is because people sometimes aren't ready to talk to law enforcement and they just need someone that they can trust, or they need some other type of help to get through that until they're ready to do something like that. And that's what our crisis line can do. And with that availability being 24 hours a day, I mean, it just... Unfortunately, what a crisis doesn't normally happen at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. It's going to happen at 3 a.m. on a Friday or a Saturday, or it's going to happen in the middle of the night. You know, sometime, you know, I remember I had one person call, and the only time she could call was 2 a.m. on a Tuesday because that's when he was going to be at work.
Yeah.
And I had talked to her consistently. I remember I talked to her a good 3 or 4 times during that period to finally get her to come in.
Yeah.
And so that it, and we've even had now going up to the schools, we've had kiddos now calling that crisis line to get help and talk to trusted adults that are in the community.
Where do we find these adults? Where do we find our advocates?
Whew, where do we find our advocates?
You know, it's been a 20-year struggle. I would say 40-year struggle. The thing is it's being a crisis line volunteer can be hard. You have to want to help people, and you have to want to help people where they're at. We don't tell people what to do or how to do it. We give them information and resources, and we walk them through it. And so that can be a difficult thing. So if you are a person who has the gift of time and energy and a good listening ear, that is 90% of being a crisis line volunteer. Partially, or sometimes we will have to go to the ER.
Yeah.
The ER nurses are amazing, and they will call us. And so we can give people information right away. And so our volunteers will do that.
And usually with that, too, an advocate is always up there with a volunteer.
A staff member.
It's always with a staff member during something like that.
You're never alone.
No. And sometimes it's really good to have two people up there because you have one person that's with the victim, helping them through that, like answering questions that they might not understand. And then you have the other person maybe making a phone call because they want their friend to be there or their parent to be there. And so we're kind of tag teaming that, or someone running to the center to grab them some clothes or grab them some food. Or
yeah.
So it's a really good opportunity to work as a team to surround the victim with support.
And, you know, it's good just having two together all the time. That's something that the U.S. military taught me. You're never going anywhere alone.
Safety first.
You got your battle.
We also need to be safe.
100%.
So if you do go on your own, somebody knows where you're going and how you're doing it. We never go to a home without law enforcement presence. We never do something without that assistance. And what is so amazing is if you are considering and wanting to help, Brittany teaches you everything you need to know. You are armed with so much knowledge and information on victimization, trauma, and how to handle those situations that you're confident on receiving those phone calls. And it does sound kind of tedious. I'm not going to tell you how much time. In order for our advocates to be held under the state statute for confidentiality at the same level as a therapist, a counselor, we have a 40-hour training. And it sounds overwhelming, but it is broken down so that you have the information that you need.
Yeah.
So when we're talking to victims, everything that they say to us is confidential unless they give us permission to let somebody else know.
And it's that it's basically the basis of exactly what you do. I'm here to protect the victim first.
Right. It is always victim-centered. That is, our main goal is not law enforcement and helping them with their investigation or how do we make this case go forward. Is how do I help you be safe? That is my main priority. How do I get you comfortable? How do I help you to the next day? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the next minute because things can be really hard.
You know, I've thought about volunteering for something like this, but number one, I do have shortcomings of my own. I'm too much of an individual of action more than anything else. It's the same reason I never put on a badge. I have an issue with domestic violence, and it's
it's really not. I mean, it's not for everybody. I've had people I've approached and been like, "Hey, are you interested in being a volunteer?" And right out the gate, it's like, "No," because I would ask her, "Is that person? I'm going to go and take care of it for you." And as we feel that sometimes we're human, we have that natural reaction, but hindsight, you know, that's not helpful for them at that moment.
And I think it's just good to know yourself. You know, I want to help. Yeah, I want to get involved. I have shortcomings that are going to prevent that from happening. I'm the guy you call me and ask me what, you know, where should I go? What should I do? Well, if I were you, you know, I'd give too much. And so I think when people out there are listening right now and they're thinking, you know, I'd really love to volunteer for this. Know yourself.
Yes.
You know, am I able to really commit to this? And that's one thing I want to do is get you as many volunteers as possible. But let's vet ourselves before we take that plunge. If that individual has, and they said, you know what, this is what I want to do, even if it's just opening the door to more counseling or anything else, getting this type of experience is extremely useful. What do they need to do, Brittany?
So the first thing is for them to reach out to me. Reach out to me. We have through Facebook, through email. Come into the center. Ask for me. I will do an on-the-spot, you know, kind of condensed version of what I'm looking for and see if they're interested. If they are interested and that's what they want to do, then we can set up an appointment and I will work with them on their schedule. Like, we don't need to do all the training all in one shot. That's fine. I can work it into however long you need it. There was one person I worked a good 5 months on getting them trained. And then once they did, it was good to go. And they're still on the line to this day. I think a big misconception is people think that once they get on this crisis line, they're going to get like 100 calls a night. And it's not like that. There could be some times where you get one call. If you volunteer for 5 days, you might get one call out of those 5 days, or you could get 20. You could get 30 in one day on a Friday night. Yeah. It could, so you just never know. But that's why, you know, we prepare you for that. And that's why there's also ongoing training. So I keep very close with my volunteers and keep them up to date on things that are changing, things that are happening in the center, any major changes that are happening. So that way they're included with us.
And once they make that commitment, let's say they get in there, they get their training, they're feeling very confident, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Then reality hits.
Yes.
And they hear the reality on the other end of the line and they're like, this is just too much for me. I'm sorry. I mean, what's the obligation?
There is no obligation, but I would encourage them to communicate with the, you know, the volunteer coordinator
you guys
and talk things through,
because
they shouldn't hold that weight either. Right. And when people are good listeners, empaths have a hard time at this job, right, Brittany?
Yes,
and,
we do.
and you want to take on somebody else's pain and somebody else's hurt. And we recognize that burnout is a real thing in this line of work. And so communication and debriefing with your, you know, the advocate that's on call with you, the staff member, or with Brittany or myself and Rhonda, like, we do that all the time in the office because it's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
We do have a few qualifications, though. You have to be over the age of 18. To be on the crisis line, you have to be in a healthy relationship, a healthy lifestyle. And when I say that, it is not because I don't think you can do it, but we need you to be on your game when you're working with somebody else and not revert back into your own trauma. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you don't want to get triggered into your own situation and then you spiral while you're trying to help someone else out of their spiral. It doesn't work.
Yep. We're there to help the victim. And then, of course, to pass a background check. And the reason why we have to have a background check is because we work with vulnerable adults, children, and things like that. And we want to set examples in our community and be the best advocates that we can be. So there's a few things that they have to pass if you will, in order to be a volunteer. But other than that, it is just a commitment to victims, our community, and helping victims through their trauma.
There's some tough times.
It is. It can be very hard.
And there's really no minimum or maximum. I mean, so you can do a minimum of one day a month, and you can do a maximum of however many days that you'd like. That's really up to that person, which is great.
That's the misconception, too. We are far beyond 1980 when you're sitting in a call center looking at a telephone.
Drawing on the desk.
Yeah, no.
We have a new phone system where the call comes right to your cell phone, and we just ask that you can step into a private area so the phone call can be confidential.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that you can have that time with that victim and that they're the priority at that moment while you're having that phone call. Otherwise, you do whatever you want when you're on call if you have cell service.
Okay.
So
all right.
You can do that wherever, however.
Ladies, I want to thank you both so much for coming in here. Let's get you on some more. I know you've got a fundraiser coming up in a couple months.
Yeah. Love Shouldn't Hurt. Love Shouldn't Hurt 13. Fundraiser.
That's right. And I'd love to have you on before that and afterwards and see how it went.
Yep, for sure.
So, happy holidays.
Awesome.
Ladies.
Thank you so much.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Sheridan VA Medical Center. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe financial confidence starts with knowledge.
That's why they partner with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy directly to students and groups in our community.
We provide free educational resources, interactive bank tours, and real guidance from our team of professionals.
It's a smart, hands-on way to build a strong financial foundation.
Learn more or request a speaker today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Reserve your spot on an unforgettable 11-day Denali Explorer Princess Cruise with Latitude Travel, departing Vancouver May 16th. Visit Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway, and cruise through Glacier Bay National Park. Then enjoy direct-to-the-wilderness rail service to Denali National Park for a three-night stay. A small deposit holds your place, and packages start at just $1,649 per person. Call Rick or Julie at Latitude Travel of Wyoming, 674-0656, or stop by 157 West Brundage next to Real Deals in Sheridan.
This is the captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Doug, hypothetically, if someone accidentally backed into a snowbank.
Bob, what did you do?
Nothing, but if a guy did, the Waring Chevrolet Body Shop could fix it, right?
Absolutely. Dings, dents, scrapes, bumps, we fix it all.
Hypothetically, how fast?
Faster than you can say Bob shouldn't park in tight spaces.
That was one time.
Folks, bring it to the pros. The Waring Chevrolet Body Shop for the unfortunate vehicle collision. 107 East Alger or online at waringsheridan.com.
Have you worked in the construction trades? Do you have skills in carpentry, plumbing, and electrical? Have you ever operated heavy equipment? The Sheridan County Airport is hiring a full-time maintenance technician with excellent benefits including medical, dental, eye care, retirement, and sick leave. Find out more on the Sheridan County website. Email your resume and cover letter to humanresources@sheridancountywy.gov or mail it to 224 South Main, Suite B1 today.
Hi, this is Tim Kerr at Frackleton's, and when it's time to gather your crew or family for the holidays, make it memorable at Frackleton's in downtown Sheridan. Whether it's your company party or a cozy get-together with friends, Frackleton's delivers the perfect mix of upscale dining, handcrafted cocktails, and that festive Sheridan charm. Book your holiday party now. Dates fill fast. Frackleton's, downtown Sheridan's place to celebrate. Call or visit Frackleton's.com to reserve today.
Go
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by veteran and Sheridan VA Medical Center Chief of Hospital Medicine and current Wyoming Air National Guard Major, Dr. Daniel Brainbridge, and Sheridan VA Chief of Mental Health, Beth Martini, and Public Affairs Specialist Cherish Thompson. Good morning and welcome to the show, all.
Good morning. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Doc, you don't mind if I call you Doc, do you?
I'm used to it.
Doc, can you give listeners an overview of the medical care currently available at the Sheridan VA Medical Clinic?
Yeah, you know, I can speak on the medicine side of the house, which is, you know, kind of what I'm in charge of, and even more so now. So, we do have a great urgent care, which we've termed Express Care Clinic, which is kind of a new iteration of past walk-in clinics that we've had in the past. We've had an urgent care in the past, and this one's different because it's aligned under the hospital medicine side of the house as opposed to the primary care side of the house. We still assist with all of their patients. We allow our docs to see their patients when they walk in, when they think they're seeing their primary care doc, and primary care doc can't see them right away. So we pull them into our clinic and they're taken care of by a physician. So I love that we've been able to do that over the last 2 years. It's growing. I just hired a brand new physician that I recruited from Sheridan Memorial Hospital, Dr. David Nickerson, who was the director of their urgent care and is now the director of our urgent care. So I have been the director and he's going to take it and run with it. He's emergency medicine board certified doctor and he's been doing great things. He's been there for about a month now, and I'm really excited about him taking over the reins on that and bringing him with all of his experience that he's had over the last decade of his practicing medicine and his new outlook. We've never had a board-certified emergency room doctor, and I'm really excited about the potential of him kind of taking it and growing that clinic. So,
Doc, what spurred the creation of this? Was it the idea that, boy, I want to get more veterans through here for, and I don't want to say anything's little, but like the common, let's say common things, common cold, I got a runny nose, wow, my arm hurts.
Yeah, we see all of that. That's our bread and butter stuff. But I don't like turning away anybody. I don't like when we have to send patients out to the emergency department across the street. I like to save the taxpayer money by keeping the patient in-house and like to take care of the veteran. So they don't have to go anywhere else. They don't have to spread around their care. It's always confusing when you've got a lot of cooks in the kitchen. This way, you know, the patient can come in, see our physician who can walk down the hallway and see their primary care doc. They can walk the other way and see their mental health practitioners. It's all, you know, right there in house within a little 2 minute walk. Everybody is right there that can help them out from start to finish, from whole health. So it's great to keep your care in one spot. When we do have to send people out, the water gets kind of muddy and we have to log into their EMR. We have to find out what happened. There's not a whole lot of communication, which I'm trying to help. I have a great relationship with the new CMO at Sheridan Memorial, who's Sierra Gross. She's a physician over there. She is also the chief of hospital medicine over there. So she and I are very like-minded. We're both internal medicine board certified. She does their hospital medicine as well as everything over there, and I do the same on our side. So before it was an ER doctor over there, and we didn't really see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, but she and I have a great working relationship, and the communication is getting better when we do have to send patients over there, but it's still better to keep people in-house whenever we can. So that's what our goal is.
And as a veteran, I can tell you, it's better for us as well. I like to be able to you know, hey, it's my one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. I got to go up there. Maybe I got to talk to somebody about something emotionally that I'm experiencing or whatever. I got my pharmacy right down there if I got to hit it. I also have my doctor that I can just poke my head in, maybe get a flu shot, visit, speak to the nurse who knows me and is able to say, you know what, last time I saw you, your shoulder or this, and how's that doing? and it makes it feel more communal, and it makes me... and I can only speak from my own experience, makes me feel as if I'm better cared for and cared for. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious about how you're doing. I'm making sure that you're okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the mental health side, Beth or Miss Martini?
Beth is fine.
How does that fit?
into this?
I think, honestly, it's exactly like Dr. Bainbridge was just saying. It's a one-stop shop, right? We're a collaborative team where if you've come in, like you said, maybe you're seen in the express care because you're not feeling well, and maybe you're not feeling well emotionally. Our PCMHI folks, which is primary care mental health integration team, are literally in the same hallway. You can stop and see your physician, your RN, get taken care of, express maybe that you aren't feeling great about things, and see a psychologist right then and there. So it's a one-stop shop for that as well.
Now, when it comes to veterans mm-hmm. walking through the door, to receive this type of care, do I have to be registered already?
We will get people registered once they're up there, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be cared for until you're through the eligibility process. You're walking through the door, you're expressing that things aren't feeling great. That care happens first. That's the most important thing, making sure you're okay. And then, yeah, we'll get you through the eligibility process to make sure you're registered properly.
And the only reason I bring that up is that that's a battle that we've been fighting for a while, Cherish. You know, trying to get our brothers and sisters through the door and change the perception of what's going to happen when they get through that door. I myself have been up at the VA here and Cheyenne both, and I've received excellent care. And I know how some feel about that. I just want to change that because it's like, look, I maybe you had a bad experience once, mm-hmm. but you know what? Once is not every time. And people come and go. So you need to give it another shot. You need to go up there, get yourself taken care of. And you're not a burden on anyone else or the system. And this sounds like it's a great way to get people to walk through that door, get that initial care without feeling obligated or by appointment. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's accurate.
So once they're in there, then we can start initial conversations, right, Beth?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, the mentality being there isn't a wrong time to walk in the door and ask for help. There's no wrong time. There's no wrong door. There's no wrong time.
Now, how long has this been set up?
The clinic, it's almost exactly 2 years now. We set it up in September of 23. So we're in our third year now, and our census is good. I'd like it to be better. I don't want veterans to use any urgent cares in the area except for ours. I'm kind of selfish in that way, but I like to know exactly what's going on with everybody. And I think that, you know, with that, more people using urgent care, you know, if God forbid they really aren't able to go home, we can just admit them right upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need to go across town and get admitted to the hospital across the street. I do use their ICU, but aside from that, we can keep them there from start to finish. And then when we go to discharge them, we can discharge them across the street to our community living center.
Now, how does the whole person approach benefit veterans managing physical and mental health needs?
Sure. I mean, I think those items are pretty hard to separate when you really think about how they're integrated, right? How you're feeling about things is impacted about how you physically feel. How your job is going might impact how you're emotionally feeling. Let's say you have an injury, you're impacted about the adjustment to that injury or that illness. I mean, it's all connected, right? We're all humans. We all have the human experience. And I think having a team that views your care in a holistic way really is absolutely critical to making sure that you have all of those pieces addressed and not just part of the picture addressed.
Now, Doc, mm-hmm. one more time. If a veteran out there is listening, they're like, okay, I got a cough. Let's test this out. Where do they need to go?
They need to check in at our ambulance bay at the hospital, which is kind of towards the back of the property. You know, it's a long L-shaped building. You can just keep going to the very back. And then we allow them to come inside and speak with all of our MSAs, which is our check-in ladies there in the front. And then they kind of coordinate care and get them to where they need to go, which will be right to the back. We have a nurse to see them right away and get some triage. And then they go back and they talk with the physician pretty much right away. We try to get them seen by, 15 minutes, which is, I think much better than in the community. So, you know, it's in the name, Express Care. So we really try to get them in and out expressly. So, it's very quick and easy to get in and be seen.
Now, Beth, during this time of year, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of pressure on individuals. As they're going in to take care of a cough or whatever, they may say, you know what, I wonder if maybe I could just talk to somebody. So sure. Do they just need to talk to their physician about that or the check-in?
Yeah, no, as soon as, honestly, there's no wrong answer, right? But I would say ideal answer would be the RN or the physician that they're seeing in the Express Care Clinic or maybe in their primary care appointment, if that's what they're already there for. They can say, hey, I'd really like to talk to someone in mental health, and they will warm handoff, so they'll walk the veteran to that office, which is right down the hall, or maybe they'll have the psychologist come right into the exam room.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll get it taken care of right there.
Right
there. And if we need to have follow-up appointments, it'll be made right there on the spot for either physical or mental.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's switch over to programs like PTSD 101, anger management, geriatric mental health care. I've never even heard of this. What is that?
Well, it's the mental health care of our geriatric population, right? So our elderly population of veterans has slightly different needs than our younger generation of veterans. And so we have specialized services for them that fit the characteristics that they exhibit with us. You know, when you're kind of having this complex presentation of maybe a mental health diagnosis, and we have aging on board, we have the body aging, we have the mind aging, that gets pretty complicated. And so we have a couple of board certified psychiatrists and a psychologist for our geriatric population.
Interesting. And I never would have really counted that in. And I guess a lot of us don't. You know, we think veterans, veterans, veteran. But there are, you know, different age limits and different wars where different experiences were had. Do you acknowledge the difference between you would have experienced this type of trauma during Vietnam, you would have experienced this type of trauma during Operation Iraqi Freedom, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think even down to individualized traumas, it's there's generational, there's maybe the impact of whatever tour they had an experience in, but all the way down to individualized, because not everyone even within the same campaign has the same experience. We have different jobs, we have different MOSs, and that comes with a different experience, could also come with a different type of trauma.
When did the PTSD 101 class begin?
I think you're making me guess on time. Let me think. I think we're in about a year ago.
So it's fairly new.
Yeah. And really that class is aimed at veteran family members, right? So the class itself is not a treatment of PTSD. It's a class for family members or friends or whoever is in that veteran social circle to learn about what they might see with their spouse, neighbor, friend who is a veteran who maybe has PTSD.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And eye-opening. I think a lot of individuals out there, especially when we first started getting home, didn't know even how to approach us.
Absolutely.
You know, can I buy you a beer is something that I heard more than just about anything else when I got here. And that was just the way that we all dealt with each other.
Sure.
I really like this. If there is somebody out there who's like, oh my gosh, if I just had a window, maybe I could help a little bit more. How do they get registered for this class?
They can call up to our mental health clinic and we can let whoever wants to attend know when the next one is. It's not the same as like a therapy that maybe happens weekly or monthly. We have that offered at different intervals depending on interest. And so if they called up to our mental health clinic, we can absolutely let them know when the next one is.
That is a fantastic course, folks. I'm just hearing about it myself, but it's something that, you know, has always kind of been out in the back of my head. If there was one thing that you would like the veterans to know in the community regarding mental health, what would that be?
You know, it's been very interesting. I will say COVID had some silver linings, and I can acknowledge them now that we're feeling a little more distant from it. One of those silver linings was breaking down of stigma. And, you know, it's been pretty interesting to work in a field that has happened now, right? before COVID, I think there was still a stigma about talking about mental health, still a stigma about acknowledging that people need to be addressing the things that they're feeling. And that prolonged isolation actually allowed people to say, oh, wait, hey, I maybe need to talk to someone.
Maybe I
should do something about that, right? I mean, we're not designed to be in isolation for that long.
No, we're
that's not,
we're a herding species.
We are. And so I think that one of the silver linings really has to be the acknowledgement that that stigma did get broken down quite a bit.
Doc, I got about 1 minute. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing about just our physical health mm-hmm. that you would like veterans to know, what would it be?
This time of year, you know, we need to pay attention, check in with ourselves this time of year and lean on the people that we are able to lean on. And if you aren't, I think the VA is a great source for a lot of people around this time of year. Our census always ticks up a little bit, kind of go into the holidays and then right after the holidays with everything that we do to ourselves. So just check in and check on your people, you know.
It was about a year ago I walked through your door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
November is about the time she makes me go to the hospital just to mm-hmm. get checked up.
Yeah.
She likes me around. I don't know what her issue is. Folks, I want to wish you all happy holidays. I greatly appreciate what you guys do for us. I really, really do. I know there's a lot of challenges attached to all of that. So I also thank you for your tolerance, especially you two. I appreciate it. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
We're giving away $2,000 in Sheridan Commercial Company gift cards. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Today and every weekday until Monday, December 22nd, we're giving away $250 in gift cards. That's five $50 gift card winners each day. Come in and register today and every day. We are drawing winners now. Come on down. Merry Christmas from all of us at the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
Mule deer are on their way to winter ranges and could be on some highways too. Pay close attention for deer when driving, especially in early morning and evening hours. If there's one deer on a highway, there's probably another nearby. Pay attention to those deer warning signs. They're there for a reason. Reducing vehicle speed is your best bet. Collision repair costs are an incentive too. Wildlife vehicle collisions can cause a lot of damage, and slowing down can save both you and the wildlife. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Are your tires ready for winter? For Surefoot Attraction, put your trust in a new set of tires from Midas. Save $100 on a set of four select tires on popular brands like Cooper, Toyo, BF Goodrich, and Michelin. Select shocks and struts are buy three, get one free. And Midas has you covered with lifetime coverage on tires, shocks, brakes, mufflers, and more. Low on cash? Ask how to get 6 months deferred interest with the Midas credit card, keeping you safely rolling along. Midas Tire and Auto.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Komando, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Kim Komando Show, brought to you by Range on 103.9 FM and 930 AM.